Welcome to the ACCP Postgrad Trainee Podcast, a podcast by postgrads for postgrads. My name is Andy Jadis, the current ACCP RAC Vice Chair and a PGY2 Critical Care Resident at Mayo Clinic. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at what life is like for residents on call. I'm really happy today to have our guest speaker, Brooke Smith, joining us, who has a plethora of experience with on-call programs. Happy to touch into some of the things she has to say today and share for us. Brooke completed her PharmD at the University of Colorado before transitioning to complete her first year of residency training at Rush University Medical Center. She is currently a PGY2 critical care resident at University of Illinois Chicago and member at large on the ACCP RAC. Welcome to the podcast, Brooke.
Hey, thank you so much.
You know, it's a bright and sunny day here in the Midwest, so hopefully we're enjoying our sun time, you know, and sunshine today. And after we get done with the podcast, definitely got to get outside and catch some rays.
Yeah, for sure. I plan on taking my dog on a walk after this, so it'll be great.
Awesome. Well, just to kick us off then with some questions, just to learn a little bit more what it's like for life on call. For those that might not be familiar, what are the responsibilities of a pharmacy resident during on-call overnight shifts? And what does a normal night look like for you?
Sure. So really on-call your nights can be a variety of things. So at most call programs for in-house overnight on-call, you'll probably be responding to emergencies, and even emergency response is very different at different hospitals. So at both Rush and UIC, we respond to rapid responses. So this is a patient who is maybe on the verge of decompensating. And as a team, you can intervene to hopefully help move them to an ICU and stabilize them before it progresses to a code blue situation, which could be a cardiac arrest or some sort of airway distress. And maybe a patient is getting emergently intubated. We also attend code strokes, and at both institutions, we mix TPA at bedside and administer it. So that's really helpful. And then additionally, drug info questions, and really those can be a variety of things. I mean, I've gotten everything from like stuff I had no clue about, like how to give IVIG dosing for a sickle cell patient about to get a blood transfusion. I was like, oh my gosh. And then there's like, I call them the layups that are really easy. Like, what's the dose for cefepime? Like really easy things. So it kind of depends. And there might be additional responsibilities like following up on vinco levels and things like that. But overall, those are like the general responsibilities. I feel like my nights can really vary. My last on-call night was really chill. I had at UIC, we do transplant verification. And so I did a kidney transplant, put in all the orders for it, had one rapid for somebody who just had an allergic reaction, but we didn't even give epi or anything. It was a really easy rapid. And then just two very easy drug info questions. But I've had nights where I had 5 codes and, you know, 10 DI questions. So it can really vary just depending on kind of what mood the hospital is in, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, no, definitely seems like a plethora of experiences. I know here at Mayo Clinic, we are really just respond for code blues, so we don't even get to attempt some of those rapid responses that I feel like pharmacists can still have a pretty large impact on as far as helping with some initial resuscitation. But definitely seems like a lot of different experiences. And I'm curious, how much sleep do you usually get during an on-call night?
Personally, I'm somebody who I'm so worried that I'll sleep through a page that my body just won't let me fall asleep. If I get like an hour and a half, like last time I fell asleep from like 3:30 to 5, and I woke up and was shocked that I fell asleep. But normally I read a book, I get research done, binge Love is Blind. So just kind of do something like that to at least like have a chill night if needed.
Yeah, no, that sounds like, you know, the perfect time to crunch some stats for the research project at 3 a.m. No, that's a great experience. Are all on-call programs the same as far as their structure or support systems? And then for residents and trainees that are interested in programs with on-call programs, what are some of the important questions they should be asking during interviews to make sure they're prepared for those on-call programs?
Sure. So the first question, looking at like difference of programs, I was really surprised about how different my experience were at Rush and UIC For those who aren't familiar with Chicagoland, our institutions are literally next door to each other and share a lot of similarities because of that. But at Rush, some of our additional responsibilities included prospective antibiotic review. So we would actually get paged about restricted antimicrobials such as carbapenems, linezolid, echinocandins, and have to determine like if the patient truly needed them and, you know, could sometimes step in and help de-escalate if needed. We additionally had to follow up on high-dose methotrexate toxicities and adjust leucovorin for it. We reviewed and approved Respiracase. So we had some like more, definitely more of like review of drugs sometimes while on call at Rush. And because Rush was a larger institution at almost 700 beds, I feel like naturally that brings more emergencies at times. So I feel like I attended overall like more rapids and things like that at Rush. At UIC, I've definitely had like plenty of emergency response this year, but a lot more drug info questions. Our pager number is actually posted in all of the call rooms at UIC. Whereas at Rush, we didn't hand out our information. So they had to call Central, and Central kind of filtered some of those questions that could be easily answered by a staff pharmacist. And at UIC, it's kind of like they'll page you for whatever they want. So yeah, definitely different experiences. And that being said, you know, for trainees going into it, I think your first question to me about what your typical call night looks like will really speak a lot to it. So I would definitely encourage them to ask that. Ask what their response is. I mean, like what their responsibilities are. And then additionally, just make sure that it is in-house on call, or make sure it's not if that's not what you're looking for. So I know some residency programs might have an on-call component, but maybe it's on call at home and you're just answering like DI questions until 10 p.m. or maybe it's overnight. So on call can mean a variety of things to different programs.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point and something that's worth clarifying, as sometimes on the website, it's not always very clear if it's in-house, overnight, or what some of those differentiators might be. So definitely good things to think about. Given that you're interested in, you know, training in critical care this year, I'm sure that these experiences was something that you maybe sought out for as a P4 and like we're looking for programs. I know it was something that was definitely attracted me to some of the programs that I interviewed at. So one of the things I know that was also on my mind is there any kind of extra resources as far as preceptors or things to tap into? Maybe it is the central pharmacist if there is something that you just want to run it past the second person.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was a PGY1 and still like learning the ropes and stuff, I definitely utilized our central pharmacists a lot, Reg, and they were really helpful. And I had the bonus of having one of our non-traditional pharmacy residents who was in her second year of residency on my week. And so she was definitely at the beginning of the year would like come to codes and just like even be a fly on the wall, and just provide emotional support. Like sometimes that's really beneficial. At UIC, we did buddy call through like early September, late August. So a lot of training. And then additionally, we do have like a formalized preceptor list if we do need to reach out. Additionally, this year, me and my emergency medicine co-resident have definitely gotten some calls from PGY1s this year. And so we're always available for help as well.
Got to tap into those PGY2s before calling the preceptor. That's definitely a classic. Got to use your resources and, that definitely sounds like a lot of programs do have infrastructure in place. For those that are maybe not interested in critical care emergency medicine, there's still a lot of resources that it sounds like can help you get through some of these experiences. What benefits have you gained from your on-call experience? And I'm sure this is going to be an easy one to answer.
So, I mean, everybody thinks of the obvious of like crit care ED, like, yes, you get emergency response training and that's great, like attending codes and stuff. But I also think there's so many soft skills that come with doing an on-call program that even somebody who's doing oncology or AM care or something like that can also benefit from it. I mean, when you are on call, you are the clinical pharmacist. Like you are taking care of these patients. You're making the tough calls sometimes. So because of that, you have to learn you know, how to think quickly, how to think efficiently, and sometimes like how to think out of the box. I mean, your resources are kind of limited. If it's 3 a.m, like maybe you need a drug that's unavailable, and, you know, things like that. So I definitely think that independence and resourcefulness are two things that really stick out about the call experience, in addition to just getting a variety of like different emergency response. But at the same time, like, sometimes I feel like the crit care questions to me are easy this year. And then I get some crazy off the wall question from like general med or ID. And I'm like, wow, like this is really not my specialty, but I'm still thinking out of the box for it.
That is an amazing way to probably look at it. Most of us, like myself included, would be guilty of just assuming it's just you're responding to all these urgent, high, you know, situations where patients are maybe crashing or coding, but all those other skills that are critical just for kind of taking in information and answering questions that you know nothing about are still very critical, just I think to our daily practice and getting to think about things differently and be exposed to all those different specialties that, you know, you might get questions from overnight. Seems like a great experience for all disciplines, no matter what your interest area is. So definitely awesome. One of the fun questions I always ask people that are on call is, do you have a most memorable experience or something that really has just stood out to you or an interesting case from on-call?
Probably two experiences really kick out to me. So at the end of my PGY1 year, I got called to a rapid in our, it's almost like a in-between unit between like ED and gen med. So it's like all the way across the hospital, like from the ICUs. And there was a patient admitted there for really bad alcohol withdrawal and was seizing. I showed up, he'd fallen out of bed, there's blood everywhere. It was crazy. And like the attending who was with me was like, wow, like I haven't dealt with a status case in a really long time. And, you know, originally she was like, you know, do we give Keppra? Do we give Ativan? Do we give Phenobarb? Like, kind of what do we do? And so, you know, I really felt like I could advocate to do 4 mg of Ativan because everybody's so scared to do that. I could quickly look and find out the patient, in addition to alcohol withdrawal, did have a seizure history. And so we decided to load with Keppra. And again, like, because they don't deal with status that often, they were like, do we give like 1 gram of Keppra? And I was like, no, like we're going to give 4 grams actually. And so it was really great, I think, working with the team, being able to provide that pharmacotherapy recommendations. And then even just like transporting the patient all the way to the ICU, like that was so stressful too. I mean, it's like a 10-minute walk at rush from one side of the hospital to the other. And so just preparing him for that and, you know, making sure he had enough Ativan on board and things like that were really helpful. And then kind of similarly recently got called to a code blue here at around 3 a.m. Of course, it's always the 3 a.m. codes. And I was on MICU at the time. So I really knew the team pretty well and knew the senior pretty well. And it was actually one of our patients who were recently transferred. And, you know, unfortunately, it was just a really bad hemorrhagic shock picture. And we coded for a long time and he passed away. But really, like, me and the senior were at the head of the bed, like talking through HSNTs, talking about his MICU experience, talking about, like, is there anything else we can do? Like, things like that. And it just really felt like, because of this call, because of like my MICU rotation, like I really felt ingrained in the team and really felt valued, like a nice valued member of the team, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think both those experiences really showcase at a resident level, and obviously as a second year resident, you're practicing at an even higher level, but just how critical residents on call or just pharmacists in general are in these situations. So I think both those experiences speak to what the on-call experience can kind of put you in. And, you know, hopefully in that case, you've got all the knowledge and you're prepared. And if not, like you're going to have, you know, be able to hopefully tap into those resources and find those answers. And I think both of those cases just showcase, you know, probably the awesome growth that you've gotten to see over the last couple of years. And as we're coming to the end of our PGY2 year, really exciting, I'm sure, just to see that growth and how close of relationships you've gotten to build with team members across all disciplines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there really is something being said for like when you're like on call in the trenches with your team, like you get to know each other really well. And like you start forming those more like personal relationships. You're not just like the drug police telling them to stop albuterol nebs or whatever. Like you really showcase your value. So I think it's a great experience.
Definitely. And you mentioned how far away sometimes we have to run the codes. That just remind me of the bonding that I had with one of our pulmonary critical care fellows as we ran to the other side of Mayo Clinic here. And I'm definitely out of shape. PQI2's definitely put me out of shape. So it was good, good check-in for myself too. They probably almost had to do an ice stand on me to make sure my blood glucose was high enough. Just not, of course, but awesome. Well, moving on to our last question here for you. Just thinking of for residents that are looking for these on-call programs, what are some of your tips that you have for them just to be prepared for these experiences?
I think my biggest advice is be prepared to be unprepared. Be comfortable with the uncomfortable. I've had co-residents be like, I'm trying to prepare for on-call. And I'm like, you really can't though. Like, you can have anything from a peds code to an adult code to a dosing question to an RSI. Like, you can prepare so much and we can do ACLS training and all that. But at the end of the day, like, you're probably going to be faced with something you don't know. And so learning how to kind of calm yourself, think through things logically, and walk through your resources, I think, is the best advice I can give somebody entering into a call program, is just to be calm and just know that it's okay if you don't know initially. Like, I think that was the thing by the end of PGY 2 year, like this year, I'm like, you know what, like, it's okay if I don't know this like peds dosing question. And I'm always like very clear with the team. I'm like, you know what, hey, I'm an adult care pharmacist. Like, give me 20 minutes. I'll look into this and I'll find an answer for you. But I don't know off the top of my head. And I think the teams like appreciate that honesty as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible for us to be experts. There's such a wide breadth of knowledge that is required in medicine. And I think that feedback and is something that can be really helpful for all pharmacists, no matter what their skill level is that it's definitely okay for us not to know the answer to everything. And just because we are the medication experts doesn't mean we'll know every single medication, every single question related to medication. So, but I want to thank you, Brooke, for joining us today. I think overall, definitely very informative to get to hear a little bit more about what the on-call life can be like. One last question, just more for fun. Do residents get to eat during on-call overnight? Or I just envision these really long, nights. Do you have a favorite late night snack or something that you pack with you?
So I don't have a favorite late night snack, but I do have a very strict post-call routine. So I hand my pager off like right when the clock strikes. And then I go to Chick-fil-A immediately after. It's like a treat. And so, when it's like 5 a.m. and you're just like counting down minutes, like I just think of like those chicken biscuits. And that's the thing that can get me through the night sometimes.
The food is what is probably the most important aspect of just rewarding yourself after that. So definitely that's something that if I was on call, I would definitely want to find the local donut shop and go get myself 6 or 12 donuts. I don't know, but no.
Exactly.
Is there a specific Chick-fil-A you want to give a plug to?
Oh, wow. It's definitely the Chick-fil-A off of Clinton and South Loop. Thank you so much for supporting me these last 2 years. Really appreciate it. You've been my MVP.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Brooke. And I hope for the audience listening that you found this informative and helpful. And for those that are interested for more episodes and resources, you can visit accp.com/resfell. And thank you all for listening to the ACCP Postgrad Training Podcast, a podcast by postgrads for postgrads. Our theme music is titled Jupiter Smile by the 126ers and is provided through YouTube's free audio library.